Let's turn our Bible to the book of Revelation this morning. We've been going the last few Sundays through the book of Revelation, giving an overview for our people here at the church to have an understanding of the last days. Of what God's plan is, what's going to happen to this world. People today in government and business making plans for many years out into the future. I don't believe God has planned many years out in the future. I expect the Lord every day. That's the way I'm living today. I expect the Lord every day. I've never heard of so much wickedness in my life and depravity. The coming of the Lord surely is getting close. And so I've been trying to share with our church family what's going to be going on and what you're going to miss. I've entitled The Blessings of Revelation. Because we're not going to be here when all these judgments come. So we're blessed. Amen? I'm taking a positive note, brother. The blessings of Revelation. A lot of Christian people are scared to death. They don't even want to read the book of Revelation because they're scared. What are you scared of? If you're a Christian, it's not pertaining to you. It doesn't have a thing to do with you if you're a Christian, the book of Revelation from chapter 6 on through chapter 20. This is for the unsaved people that was not wise. They failed to trust the Lord, live for the Lord, believe in the Lord. And it's so sad. It just bothers me. It bothers me greatly. The way the gospel is being preached by many preachers today, it really is. It's going out. But who's listening? Who's listening? But the gospel is going out. And if people don't choose to listen, that's their problem. It's going to be their problem. People don't want to go to church. That's all right. That's their problem. But look in Revelation chapter 20 with me this morning. Look down at verse 7. And I hope you'll follow along. When the 1,000 years are expired, this is at the end of Christ's 1,000-year reign. Right at the end of it. The Bible says Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So for 1,000 years he's been in the bottomless pit. Get that now. Locked up. And he can't deceive people during that 1,000 years. Now Jesus is going to let him be out for a little while. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the seas. For 1,000 years, the earth has been repopulated when Jesus sits on his kingdom. Many, many people have been killed during the tribulation time. And just a few people will enter into that 1,000-year reign. But they're going to keep having children multiplying upon the earth. And there'll be millions upon millions of maybe even billions within that 1,000 year. And a lot of them will fail to trust Jesus as their Savior, even though he's living on the earth with them. And Satan is going to go out and deceive that crowd because they've not trusted Jesus, even though they've lived. They have been made to obey. They wanted to sin, but Jesus would stop them or have somebody. Probably the church is going to wiggle. That's probably going to be part of our ministry. When someone starts to sin, he's going to send Tammy over there and say, Tammy's going to say, you can't do that. Or Mr. Chavis over there, you can't do that. And they're probably going to get all puffed up on the inside and rebellious, you know. And then when the devil is let out, they're mad at Jesus and they're going to not trust him, and the devil's going to deceive them. I just give you a little vivid illustration there of how, you know how people are anyway, don't you? And you live long enough to know how people are. They get all puffed up about anything. Well, listen here what he says. And they went out upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the saints, the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God from out of heaven and devoured them. Boy, you see what's going to happen to them, don't you, folks? Verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them. Folks, this is what we've been waiting for a long time. We've been waiting for this a long time. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They've been there 1,000 years, and they're still in the lake of fire burning right on for 1,000 years when the devil was cast in. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. When someone dies lost, they're going to be lost forever and ever. The last war on earth is the war of Gog and Magog. It's not the same Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38 and 39. This is a different war. This is the last war. This is the last war. There Satan, his forces are defeated, and he's finally thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, and never again will he deceive anybody else. Won't that be good? Won't that be good? He won't deceive nobody else. Remember, Satan had led 1/3 of the angels to rebel against God. Back in before he came down to the earth, Satan was the most, he was known as Lucifer. He was the most beautiful of all the angels. He was given the most authority of all the angels. He had more power than any of the angels. And he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be God. And so he led some of the angels, it appears 1/3 of them, to rebel against God, to overthrow God. That was a dumb mistake, amen? And he lost. Satan has always been a loser, folks. And he got cast out with his demons. Of course, they came down to the earth, and they were sitting over there waiting for Eve to deceive her and eat forbidden fruit that she gave to her husband. He ate. And now they produced a race of sinners, people like us. All of us needing salvation. Satan's to blame for all of that. He's the honcho behind all that. But praise God, we just read where he's going to be put in the lake of fire and brimstone forever. And he ain't going to get out. Amen? I noticed that the Bible says he was kept in the bottomless pit 1,000 years. He was chained there, sealed there, and in 1,000 years he didn't even get out of that place. He ain't going to get out of the lake of fire neither. Amen? Not only has Satan led 1/3 of the angels to rebel against God, he's also led an untold number of people on earth to reject Jesus as their Savior. He's led some of our family members, some of our friends, some of our co-workers, people we know. Satan has deceived them out of their souls. He's a rascal, folks. And we've tried to tell people and tell people and tell people, and they just ignore it. Surely God wouldn't send nobody to hell. Well, he doesn't. God has never sent anybody to hell. People go there on their own because they don't want to go to heaven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And to believe on Jesus is more than just a head knowledge. It's got to reach down into the heart. You got to be born again by faith. You got to turn from sin, knowing you're a sinner, to trust Christ as your Savior. And then start learning about him and serving him, being used of him. Satan has also made life miserable for God's people. Look at the misery he's made in your life and my life. The devil is the cause of it. He's working out. Now, he don't come out front and say, I'm the devil and I'm going to make your life miserable. No, he don't do that. He works behind the scenes and troubles us, discourages us, wants to get us to quit serving God if we've been born again, so we won't accomplish anything for the Lord. The devil's a rascal, church, but he's going to hell. Amen? And he'll come and get after me again this week, because every time I talk about him, I get it. I gets it. It ain't no lie. You ask my wife. Yeah. I went out to my office this morning to print out the bulletin, and the lights in my building wouldn't come on in the one portion of it. Now I got that to contend with. Always I get a strike somewhere when I'm going to talk about the devil. Well, devil, I'm talking about you today. Come again. Yeah, he's the devil, folks. And we know who he is. Yeah, he's made life miserable for God's people. His days of rebellion and deceiving others is over when Jesus throws him into the lake of fire and brimstone. And our Sunday school lesson this morning, them demons that followed the devil, they were so worried that they were going to be thrown into the lake of fire before it was their time, they thought. But they haven't been thrown in yet. But they will be. They will be. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, this is the people. Now Jesus said this, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. People will be thrown into the same lake of fire with the devil and the demons, and they'll be together forever and forever in a lake of fire and brimstone. People that would not believe the word of God. And think of the millions of copies that surround that is never opened, that people could read and learn about living in a paradise that's unspeakable, glorious, and they get deceived out of their soul. And here we are this morning, come to worship God, to praise God, to thank God, to love God. Thank God I'm saved and I know it, brother. I know it. But look on the highways of the world today. People not interested. Not interested. Not interested. Hell will be inhabited with the devil and his fallen angel, along with all of earth's unsaved people. Folks, there's going to be billions and billions and billions of humans in the lake of fire. They're going to be with the devil and his angels. You know what? There won't be a single one laughing in there. They're not going to be having any fun at all. You won't even have a friend there. Oh, you might know somebody there, but y'all won't be friendly. The unsaved won't be friendly because they'll be caught up in their misery. For their misery. Hell will be a place of darkness. It'll be so dark there, not a bit of light. It'll be a place of hopelessness. There's no hope to those who die lost. It's a place of despair. Hell will be a place of moaning like you've never heard such moaning, church. It'll be a place of groaning. And the Bible says they'll be grinding their teeth in their misery in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Hell will be a place of weeping and wailing and doom. Hell will be more severe for some than for others. It'll be kind of like believers. Some believers will get more rewards than others. Depends on faithfulness. And hell will be dependent on wickedness or the opportunities to be saved. The more opportunities to be saved and rejected, that'll mean if it's rejected, it'll make the lake of fire even worse because you had more opportunities. The more wicked and evil and profane and godless a person, the greater the sufferings will be. That's the way it'll be. This life on earth for all of us was for us to prepare where we wanted to live out for eternity. The only reason we're in this world today is to get ready where we're going to live at forever. God puts us here a certain number of years, not only to get to know Christ as Savior, but to work for the Savior, to share the gospel with other people. That's why we're here. To live for the Lord. To serve the Lord. Prepare to meet the Lord. And to share the good news so others can know. That's our purpose for being here. Because we're here just for a limited time. Our days are numbered. I had a little sister. I think she lived 24 minutes. Now here I am. I've had a lot of minutes. For some reason God chose the difference. I don't know why. And God does that in every life. He determines your length of days. But then he says after your days, there's judgment. You're going to face the judgment. And you can't get out of it. You're going to be at the judgment. You can't get out. God is allowing people to make their own choice, though, where they want to live at. You want to serve the Lord? That's up to you. It's up to you. People could believe God's word and his word, or they can believe Satan and his lies. And people are making that choice every day. And I grieve, just like I saw our police officer that was killed. I just say, Lord, I just hope he was saved. I just hope, just because he's a police officer don't mean he's going to hell. Or a soldier. No, you got to be saved to go to hell. You got to know Christ as your Lord and Savior by repenting of your sin. We're all in the same boat. Nobody's any different from anybody else. We're all just alike. We're all in the same condemnation till you get saved. Think about, folks. There's coming a time when there'll be no more devil, no more sinners. Oh, I love the scripture Johnny read a while ago. I don't know who loves that the most, me or Brother Chavis. Oh, I found out chapter many years ago, and I just refer to it often. Yeah. What a great chapter in the Bible. Think of a world where there's no devil and fallen angels. Won't that be something to live in a world where there's no devil and no demons? Try to think of a world where there's no wicked people also. You know, we were growing up, you could pretty well trust people. You can't trust people today. It's terrible. It's terrible. God's plan for this world has now ended when we get over here to Revelation chapter 20. You see, this world is going to come to an end as we know it, church. And then God's got another plan. God's got a better plan. Amen? That would be his A-plus plan. Amen. Yeah. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:7 that the heaven and the earth is going to be melted with fire. Now you talk about a fire. There's going to be a fire one of these days, folks, when the heavens and the earth is melted down and everything on it is consumed. Peter said, heaven and earth, which are now by the same word, God's word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God has set a date to burn this world up, melt this universe down, because man has polluted and spread his sin everywhere. God's going to wipe it all off. He's going to cleanse it all. He's going to purge it all. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be something, folks. It's going to be something. It'll be more magnificent than the first earth was, if you can get a glimpse of that in your heart. 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. This will be at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ now, when he gets through, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. There won't be anything spared on this earth. It'll all be melted down with God's eternal fire, purging this earth. Verse 12 says, looking for and hastening to the coming day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Think about everything melting, iron melting, steel melting. Everything just melts under the intense fire of God as he purges this earth. And what a spectacular sight that'll be when the heavens are on fire and the earth is melted down. Sin brought a curse to God's creation. Sin has spoiled God's creation. And yet today people don't want to talk about sin, do they? How many people you reckon go about thinking about they're a sinner? You reckon many people think they're a sinner? If they do, how many think of the danger they're in with their sin? Did you know ever lost person in the world today? If they're reached the age of accountability, the wrath of God's just hanging over their head, just waiting to execute them, because he's already found all guilty. He's just waiting now to execute them. If he executes them and they're still lost, you know what happens to them, don't you? They're lost forever. People just don't know what this book says, folks. And they don't want to know. But ignorance will not be okay in that day. You can't plead ignorance. You can't plead ignorance. People know there's a God. They may want to deny it, but they know there's a God. Yeah. Sin's brought a curse. Psalms 102:25. Oh, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. God's eternal, but this world is subject to change. Amen. You like that, brother? Yeah, we're going to change too, brother. We're going to have a body that's going to last forever. I tell you what, I can't hardly wait to get a new body, folks. I'm going to have a Baptist fit. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Before we talk any more about the new heaven and the new earth, let's talk about this sad subject. Because at the end of the great white, at the end of Christ's 1,000-year reign, maybe while the heavens are on fire, the great white throne judgment's going to be sealed up. The great white throne judgment, in which all unsaved people that's ever lived will be brought from their graves, whether they're in the oceans or on some landmass somewhere. Their bodies is going to be reformed, come to life, and their spirit that's in torment now will come out of torment, enter into those old bodies that's been resurrected. And they're going to be bodies suited to be thrown into the lake of fire. This all don't sound good, but it's what the Bible teaches. They're going to be all these unsaved people, the billions, the trillions, are going to be brought to stand at the great white throne judgment. My understanding is we'll be there as witnesses, because we preach the gospel as God's people to these masses of people. And I include all Christendom when I say that. I'm not just talking about us specifically. I'm talking about the ministers down through the ages preaching to these masses of people. And here they are before the throne. And guess who is the judge on the throne? God's appointed son is the judge of the earth, and all these people in mass will be brought to stand before him, every single one of them lost. Not a single one of them will be saved. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew about how they'll begin to cry out that day, oh, we did this, and oh, we did that. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You might be religious standing before the great white throne, but there's no salvation in being in religion or having religion. Even Christianity will not save you. Jesus is the Savior, not Christianity. Amen. Let's don't lose the truth there. And so, the Bible says, I saw a great white throne. John has wrote this down as to what he saw was going to take place in the future. And this could happen in the next 7 or 8 years, folks. If the rapture was to happen now, then 7 years of tribulation, then there would be a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then the great white throne. I'll get that right in a second. The Bible says when that great white throne is set up, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. It's going to be such a frightful event. such a terrifying event, a horrifying event, because here stands all these lost people that's condemned forever, and they're going to be judged. The Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life." The books, plural, contain the life works of each person, from your thoughts, intentions, words, and actions. Everything about us is recorded in books in heaven. So this great white throne, all these masses of people, their life's works is in the books. And then there's another book, the book of life. And the judge, you look into that book and their name is not there. That means they've not been saved. They've lived their life without salvation. They've lived their life without faith in God. They've lived their life and missed the purpose for life, folks. Y'all hear me? The Bible said even the sea gave up the dead that was in it. And then the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All these millions and trillions of people lost when salvation was free, when salvation was available, and yet they chose not to believe in the Savior. And they lose their soul. They live their life in this world in vain. They live for the things of this life and fail to prepare for eternity, folks. And this is the sad truth of worlds of people around us today. And you can't tell them no different. You cannot tell them any different. They're deceived. The devil's got them. He's dragging them down to the gutter he's going to, folks. And only the grace of God can intervene. And if they refuse to get under the sound of the gospel, they'll die in their sin. They'll die in their sin. It's so sad. Yeah, it's so sad. Before the Lord will be billions and billions of people who've died in their sin. And these people will stand before the Lord terrified because they know that they are guilty. No one to come to their defense. You know what? They may be crying out at us standing there for us to help them. But we can't help them. We can't help them. And we probably, I've read other scholars that commented that instead of us even trying to help them or wanting to help them, we're going to agree with Jesus. They deserve to be separated from God. We're going to agree. I tell you, folks, life is serious. And people are gambling with their lives. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All these people traded heaven for hell while they live on the earth. They would not believe the Bible. They'd not go to church to worship the Lord or learn about the Lord that loves them. They wouldn't listen to the pleading preachers that tried to reach their sin-sick soul, but they ignored them. Few of this sinful world's For a few of this sinful world's pleasures, they traded heaven for hell. That's what people are doing today. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:4, in whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Only the gospel has the power of God to give salvation, folks. You can't get saved any other way. Only one way to be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 21:8, but the fearful, ye unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, idlers, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you think the people of this country we live in today want to hear this? We're talking hate speech. Did you know that? Calling people sinners. And when we preach the morals of this word, the truths of this word, there's more and more anger being aimed towards the church today because of our belief system. The Bible tells us there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth passed away, and there's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Can you imagine when God wipes away our tears? There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain. Do you get that, Linda? Faith? Y'all get that? No more pain? You that's got pain? For the former things are passed away. Gonna be a new deal, amen? Won't that be great? And he that sitteth on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful, in Revelation 21:1-5. This is a new world for those of us that trusted Jesus. That's where we're going to be at, in a new world. The laws of operation will be unlike those of the old world. The old world tended towards unfairness and danger and disappointment. It was a world controlled by Satan and his demons. The old world was temporal, but the new world we'll live in will be eternal. It'll never come to an end. The new world will be a new kind of heaven and a new earth. Isaiah the prophet saw it in 65:17. And a new world and a new earth. The new heaven and new earth will never have a curse upon it. Won't that be good? Never a curse again, folks. No more sin ever, folks. Amen? And there'll never be any wicked or evil spirits or people to corrupt it, folks. It'll be different from the former heaven and earth. There'll be no sun or moon to give light, for the glory of God will be the light. Think about that, folks. You won't have an electric bill, amen? The glory of God's going to light it up. Amen. There'll be no more seas. Formerly, the seas provided food and was a protective barrier. And the sea is also a reminder of sin. It's restlessness. It's motion. God himself is going to dwell with us. Let me say that again. Listen to me, church. God's going to dwell with us one day, not just in our bodies like he is now, but it's going to be more reality is the only way I know how to say it. Won't that be something? He's going to dwell with us. He's going to wipe away all our tears. There's not going to be any more crying or pain. There's never going to be any more death. And God has promised that his words are faithful and true. I'm glad God's a faithful God, a truthful God. What God says will be.
Amen.
What God says will be. That's the only way I know how to say it. What he's promised, it will be. He's a faithful God. He can't lie. I just believe it. Amen. Let me say this as I'm closing. We're going to be loved like we've never known or imagined love. Now, you think you know a little bit about love? You don't know a thing about love. Like we're going to be loved one day. Oh, God is, the Bible says God is love. Wow, folks. What an atmosphere heaven is going to be. Oh, I get chills all over me thinking about that. Amen. The love of God, folks, for us. You can't imagine how much you're loved, sons and daughters of God. You're loved. Satan don't want you to think about how well you're loved, but you're loved by God. And one day God, he's going to come dwell in our very midst. And we're going to be with him. It's going to be something. We're going to love our God too. I tell you what, I want to love God with all my heart. But sometimes I think I'm coming up short, amen? I'm wanting to give him all my heart, but sometimes it's a struggle. Amen? Don't you find it that way? But we're going to love God completely one day, folks. We're going to love God completely and fully. And boy, what a relationship it's going to be for eternity. Loving God and loving someone that loves us. We're going to be satisfied for eternity, and we won't ever have a complaint. Won't that be good? Amen? We won't have a thing to complain about. I don't know if this is possible, but if you read Luke 16, the rich man of Luke that Jesus spoke about who died and was in torment, he could see Abraham represents the Father. He could see him in his blessed state, and Lazarus was resting there. And I wonder, will the people in the lake of fire be able to see us in paradise enjoying the Lord? And they'll see this as part of their punishment of what they missed. I just wonder about that. They could have had that too if they'd have believed the Word of God. They'd have believed the Word of God. Jesus said in John 5:40, "And ye would not come to me that you might have life." I tell you, folks, the Lord just begging people to come to him. He wants to save us. And people, on the other hand, are running just as hard as they can the other way, just to have a little bit of more fun here, to have another drug take, or another bottle of alcohol, or another pleasure this, or another pleasure that. Folks, the devil's deceiving people right before our eyes in mass with the things There's so many things today to get people's attention, and we're chasing after things. There's what we need to be chasing after. What does this old book say? What does this old book say? I'll tell you what. I just wish I could take this book and eat it, and it would just, you know what I'm saying? The Lord hadn't told me to eat. He told some in the Bible to eat the Bible, eat the Word, and they ate it. And it was sweet in their mouth. But when it got to their stomach, it made them sick because of the judgments of God. Folks, let's keep being faithful to the Lord. Let's try to keep getting word out. Let's keep praying for the Lord to come. John the Apostle said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I think we should have that right to pray that too. If he could pray, can't we pray it? We're part of the church too. "Even so, come, Lord." Yeah. Loving God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Savior. Lord, when I think about what Christ went through in order to redeem us sinners, oh, the grace of God that provided all of that and accomplished all that was accomplished at Calvary. And now we know that our enemy, the devil, and his demonic angels, they're all going to be thrown away one day. But right now, Lord, we're having to contend with them. Give us grace and wisdom. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and useful. Lord, help us to be useful and encourage those that's discouraged today. And we'll thank you and love you and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you. Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning. Thank the Lord for salvation. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody. Pray for yourself. We give you that opportunity today.